Religious liberty is an issue I think that we as Christians need to get out in front of.
Mark Hemingway talking about his joint presentation at the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Whether it's willful or simple ignorance, the media have badly misrepresented this issue. It is also vital that all Americans understand just how foundational religious liberty and freedom of conscience are to the preservation of all American freedoms. And this is something that even those Americans who aren't religious should understand and agree with. I also happen to believe that we as Lutherans, with our understanding of Two Kingdoms theology, are in an excellent position to be the explainers and ambassadors of this issue.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway making the case for religious liberty at the Fall Making the Case Conference Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. Child care is free. Find out more and register at IssuesETC.org or call 618-223-8385.
So let me ask you this question. I'm a product of 19 years of Catholic education, mm-hmm. and every once in a while, Holy Mother, the Church has not agreed with a vote of mine and has let me know. You use a term in that article I'd never seen before. You refer to Orthodox Catholics. What's an Orthodox Catholic?
As I recall, that term, we said something like, for lack of a better term, we're using the term Orthodox Catholic, and there was a long footnote saying, you know, that that was an imperfect term. It could, you know, refer to Orthodox Judaism, you know, Greek Orthodox. And so we kind of cast about, but what that term was designed to capture, because we were talking about conscientious objection, was a judge who accepted the church's teaching that the death penalty would be impermissible in that case. We wrote about it from the perspective of a Catholic judge because my professor, John Garvey, had already undertaken that project, but it's really a problem that could face a judge of any religion or no religion at all who had a conscientious objection to the death penalty.
Do you consider yourself an Orthodox Catholic?
I am a Catholic, Senator Durbin. Orthodox Catholic, we kind of, as I said in that article, we just kind of use that as a proxy. It is not, to my knowledge, you know, a term currently in use. But if you're asking whether I take my faith seriously and I'm a faithful Catholic, I am, although I would stress that my personal church affiliation or my religious belief would not bear on the discharge of my duties as a judge.
That's Amy Barrett, a Notre Dame Law School professor, being questioned by Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois during a nomination hearing or a confirmation hearing to a federal appeals court. The question of various nominees to various federal jobs, religious views have been brought up. Bernie Sanders did it a couple weeks ago, bringing up a question of religious views. Theology seems to be in play when it comes to, confirming the nominees of judges or other federal employees. Is this a religious litmus test? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live on this Friday afternoon, September the 8th. Joining us here in the first few minutes, David Harsanyi of The Federalist. We're going to talk about Democrats and religious litmus tests. Then it's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. There are some Christian leaders, some charismatic Christian leaders, given the opportunity of the tropical storms that are queuing up for the United States, claiming that they have the power to control them. They don't seem to be doing a very good job unless they're aiming for Florida and Houston, but maybe they are. We'll be talking about that claim during This Week in Pop American Christianity. Joining us to talk about Democrats and religious litmus tests, David Harsanyi, senior contributor at The Federalist and author of a column titled Democrats Are Increasingly Comfortable with Religious Tests. David, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you for having me.
If you had an opportunity to talk with Senator Durbin and raise the question of a litmus test, a religious litmus test, he said, well, it's not a litmus test. I'm just talking to a fellow Catholic. I was just curious about her views and her ideas. How would you respond?
Well, I would be very skeptical that that was true, considering what others had, other questions that were posed. So it was clear to me, at least, that this issue was being brought up to intimate or to insinuate that that her Catholicism would get in the way of her being an effective judge or upholding the Constitution. So if the question was, does your belief that abortion is the taking of a life mean that you will not be able to uphold Roe v. Wade, whatever, something specific in that nature, that seems to me to be a far fairer question than to simply start talking about Orthodox Catholicism. And I think he'd never heard I'm skeptical that he never heard the word Orthodox thrown before the word Catholic ever in his life. But that to me seemed to be sort of a concerted effort by a bunch of senators to try to make her look like some kind of crazy, religious fanatic.
Well, as you point out, Senator Durbin was not alone. Who else was either subtly or less than subtly raising the question of a candidate's religious views in those hearings?
Right. Dianne Feinstein and Al Franken sort of had a different tact. He asked why she had given a speech and accepted some money from, and I forget the group's name right now, but a group fighting for religious freedom rights and First Amendment rights, and also sort of trying to make her look like she was. Listen, I get that this is about politics, right? But I think that we have to be careful because Bernie Sanders did this a few months ago as well, in actually a cruder way, I think. Be careful about the Constitution, because you're not supposed to have a religious test for office, but also be careful and be vigilant about, or at least religious people should be, and I'm not even a religious person, but I do appreciate, social conservatives, that they should be vigilant that their faith, that they're not being excluded from office because of their faith. I think it's a dangerous precedent to be setting.
It's also kind of unevenly applied, because there have been a lot of people who've passed through nomination hearings before these very senators who hold religious views that aren't raised as an issue. Talk a bit about that, if you would, Dave.
Well, first off, I'd like to say that, we know that you can be an Orthodox, small O, Orthodox Catholic, and be an originalist. I mean, we've had plenty of them around and on the Supreme Court, and they obviously hold the words of the Constitution in very specifically and very, they're very Orthodox about it. So, it doesn't, clearly being a Catholic does not undermine your ability to uphold the Constitution. But I know, and I'm sure many people who are listening understand, that these questions would never be asked of people of other religions, certainly not someone who is, a Muslim. I just can't even imagine someone asking them this question. I think if they did, it would be huge national news. Or even, and I'm born Jewish, and even someone who's Jewish, I just don't think they would be asked if their orthodoxy, and there is literally Orthodox Judaism, they would be asked if they could uphold, I can't think right now of what might undermine that, but if they would be able to be to uphold the Constitution, certainly no one would call them, no one would call it dogma or whatever. I forget what Dianne Feinstein said, something about dogma speaks loudly in you or something of that nature. That is just, I think, insulting. And it's just broadly applied, meaning that her whole dogma is wrong, not that there's some specific thing that, that would prohibit her from doing her job, the judge.
What I want to know, David, is why on the part of these senators, why the kabuki dance? Why not just come out and speak plainly about your concerns with regard to a nominee's views on whatever issue? Usually, a lot of this is code for abortion or something else. Why not just ask straight questions instead of kind of sidling up to it with regard to, well, your dogma, and I'm concerned about the fact that you clerked for Antonin Scalia, which is in my book kind of something that would be a badge of honor, but apparently that isn't with these senators. Why the roundabout approach?
Well, yeah, I mean, what they're talking about, dogma, means that, abortion and gay marriage and surrounding issues, meaning can we coerce people to make a cake? If you don't believe that, that's the dogma. So the reason they don't do it, obviously, is because there are still people in this world who are insulted by that sort of thing. And there are still people in this world who don't think it's appropriate, and they're nervous about a backlash. I will say, I think they're more and more brazen about it. So I think that there's less and less of that going on. At some point, if we continue on this trajectory as far as culture goes, as far as the culture wars go, it is not enough for that side to just simply say, you know, we have gay marriage, we've won that battle, or we have, you know, abortion is legal, we've won that battle. Now we're in the coercion phase where we have to force nuns to involve themselves in contraception, where we have to force people to participate in gay weddings and things of that nature. And that sort of point, it becomes a coercion. And I think that they know that, and religious people simply can't surrender on those things. So I think that more and more they're frustrated that they haven't been able to force people to participate, and that's why you have these sort of moments. And at some point there'll be a tipping point where they'll be just open about it, and I wish they were, because then we can have that debate.
So if you would, explain the wisdom of the framers' idea that there should be no religious test for federal positions.
Well, I mean, I think it had a lot to do with the, you know, I'm not a historian, but I think it had a lot to do with the things that were going on at that time. So many people in this country, and, you know, were fleeing Europe, and many of them were fleeing Catholics. So I think that they just wanted to make sure moving forward that that there wouldn't be a state religion, and that state religion, you know, that others outside of the majority religion would be able to participate and wouldn't be excluded. I mean, Catholics actually were in colonial times excluded from many rights, including the right to bear arms and free speech and things of that nature in states. And I think that at that point, simply didn't want that to happen. At least that's my understanding of that of article. I forget which article it is now.
Is it possible that the senators have forgotten? I think in the Trump era, a lot of things have been forgotten. Everyone tends to be a bit in a political frenzy. Is it possible they've forgotten that the Constitution prohibits religious tests for the nominees that they are supposed to vet?
I imagine that they don't think that what they're saying is a religious test, though I don't understand why it would be part of the conversation in the way it was. I don't know if they've forgotten. I just think they don't care. I mean, I think people care less and less about the Constitution. As I wrote in the piece, I mean, I think the real problem for them with her, with the Judge Barrett, is that she will be an originalist, that she will care what's in the Constitution, which is ironic, but I just don't think they care very much. I think the Constitution in their eyes is pretty malleable, depending on, other than on abortion and on gay marriage, which they've sort of hold as the two most important rights of the Constitution. I think that other than that, they're not too concerned about it, frankly. So, and I think less and less concerned. And I think that's really a big problem in this country, not just from them, frankly, but from many others.
David Harsanyi is senior contributor at The Federalist and author of a column titled "Democrats Are Increasingly Comfortable with Religious Tests." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. David, thank you very much for your time.
Anytime. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Chris Roseborough, as we often do at the end of a broadcast week. This week in Pop American Christianity, we're going to hear from several charismatic leaders, including Kat Kerr and Gloria Copeland, who are claiming, well, either that they personally or that you as a Christian as well have the ability to control the weather, even things like tropical storms, Hurricane Irma or Hurricane Harvey. I just wonder if they have this ability or if Christians have this ability. They seem to be doing a terrible job of controlling the weather right now. Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, will be our guest after the break.
In our 10-part series, we are exploring classical education through the acrostic of the word classical. The first C was for the two canons, the canon of Holy Scripture and the canon of Western civilization, two kingdoms, two canons. The first L was for the liberal arts, the language arts, and the mathematical arts. We turn now to the first A in classical, standing for alphabet and arithmetic, a firm foundation. Whereas postmodern education pushes abstractions and applications long before teaching prerequisite knowledge, a classical education insists on giving students a firm foundation. In the early years, we teach arithmetic to mastery and we teach to mastery all of the sound-symbol connections needed for reading, writing, and spelling. Join our discussion groups or learn more at ccle.org, ccle.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Edgruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.